I don't like sports, they're not for me. I don't like to party, I don't like to sleep. Having a good time is not my cup of tea. No, I don't care for much at all.
G'day and welcome to the Drunk of Business podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and thanks for joining me after a fortnight off from proper episodes because I got sick. Not just I got sick, everybody got bloody sick. It's been a fucking horrible year. 2016 can really bite you on the balls, at least if you fucking live where I'm living and you're living in my fucking house. God damn it. But I'm back. I'm back with some booze news. I'm back with some beard news. I'm even back with some a great product that I'm going to talk about just a little later. So let's kick it right off, shall we? Let's have a look at the beard news. And I've got a bit of a tangential story to the beard that we talked about, you know, last year or the year before. I think it was the year before, actually, where they, you know, harvested yeast from a brewer's beard and then made a beer out of it, to much, you know, ambivalent sort of fucking feelings about how well that'll go. So we've had the, we've now had news released that there is going to be belly button beer. That's right, you heard me, belly button beer. Now, this is created by a company in Australia called Seven Cents Brewery, which is a craft beer company, and they tried to out to the British company that harvested yeast from a Czech model's vagina. Now, this could have been an April Fool's joke, but fuck, I don't know, man. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you the BrewDog ad, and then we're going to talk a bit more about the belly button beer.
Imagine a woman of your dreams, your object of desire, her charm, her sensuality, her passion. Try her taste, feel her smell, hear her voice. Now free your fantasies and imagine that with a magic wand you can close it in one bottle of beer. The golden drink brewed with her lure and grace and flavored with instincts, which source we have identified. We have discovered a process of transmission of her essence, of her femininity. Her instincts by isolation of lactic acid bacteria from her vagina. Our laboratory isolates and multiplies the bacteria in a safe way. Additionally, we examine the final bacteria in terms of its purity and safety. We use the bacteria in the production of sour ales, lambics, Flanders ales, and sour stouts. By using yoni bacteria in the process, the beers contain femininity and women's instincts. We have selected beautiful Czech model Alexandra Brendlova to be our source of the yoni. That is a kind of female whose pheromones will stay with you after the meeting for the following week long. It's total insanity and excitement, reminding you of the best time of your youth. This insanity will overwhelm your mind with the first taste of our beer. We have devoted much time in seeking such a woman. And finally, we have found a woman who possesses all the desired instincts which we wanted to frame in our bottle. We have bottled the beer in a golden black bottle, which serves as an arc of her instincts. It presents her name with the date of the collection of her vaginal swab. Also, it has our logo, the yoni, which is based on an original sculpture in a Vietnamese temple. Yoni means vagina in Sanskrit. The success of the enterprise depends on you. We have prepared many perks, including vouchers for the beers and gadgets. For the most generous, we can prepare a home-brewed beer based on their girlfriend's yoni bacteria.
And that, I think, is about enough of that. That's from BrewDog, whose ad I just pulled from their Kickstarter page. Man, I don't know. Am I crazy or is that just a little bit fucking insane? I really don't want to be drinking a beer made out of a fucking yeast infection. But in saying that, let's have a look at the Australian fucking option because, you know, us Aussies got to go just that little bit extra fucking crazy. So this is their press release when they announced their belly button beer. Seven Cent Brewery is pleased to announce the launch of Belly Button Beer, a truly unique brew which will see the first light in 2016 Great Australasian Beer Spectacular, GABS for short. Perhaps the first beer in the world fermented from yeast captured from the brewer's belly button fluff, there will be a little bit of 7 cent in every glass. Some say why. We say why not. The process of isolating our own yeast strain involves swabbing samples of each of the brewer's belly buttons and getting our full science on by streaking out the samples in agar plates. After allowing the plates to incubate, we found all sorts of interesting things growing, including what appeared to be colonies of yeast. Positive controls were used to help us identify yeast colonies, and negative controls were used to ensure our techniques were sterile. We selected individual yeast colonies and grew them up until we had pitchable quantities for trial batches. Tasting the sample batches from each brewer was great fun, and we selected the one we thought had the best character as our GABS beer. We then grew the selected yeast strain to a pitchable quantity for an 800 litre batch. Can you guess which brewer it came from? The beer itself is in a style of a New Worldish Belgianish wit beer with fresh orange zest and toasted coriander seeds. The yeast exhibits qualities of Belgian beer, with the key characteristics being spiciness, clove, and light banana esters. The orange zest and coriander seeds were used to help complement the yeast, and a calculated amount of Rawaka and Mosaic hops were added to increase the citrus qualities and give it a refreshing hop kick. 4 different grains were used to add both body and complexity, including barley, wheat, oats, and rye. The inspiration for this beer arose a couple of years ago when Rogue produced their beard beer fermented with yeast captured from the brewer's beard. We tried the beer and instantly started talking about other places you could capture yeast from. We are really interested to see if the idea of drinking something that originated from a brewer's belly button is too much for even the most hardened beer geek. Once you get used to the idea that yeast is yeast no matter where you get it from, and that the water we drink is really recycled dinosaur piss, then you can just sit back and enjoy the beer. In theory. So they made a video to coincide with the launch of their beer, which we're going to play right now. And that proves we should watch the videos before we try and play the audio. Dipshit. the video is basically just a backwards process of how the beer was fucking made. So, look, man, I don't know, dude. I don't know if I should reach out to these guys and say, give us a fucking, give us an interview, give us a squeeze of this belly button beer. I mean, I get the point, and I got the point the first time with the beard beer, which is yeast is yeast is yeast is yeast. By the time it goes through its process, it is 100% sterile. There's no way sort of any other bacteria or anything else, for that matter, can make it through to the final culture. But really, belly button beard? Belly button beer? Are you fucking serious, man? It seems a little bit unusual, to say the fucking least, to me. But then what the fuck do I know? I'm just a drunken clown who is trying his hardest to be a fucking good bloke. As you can tell, I've had just a few. So let's move on, shall we? While we're on the note of weird fucking brews, let's have a bit of a look at celebrities making money off your liquor shelf. So, I mean, this thing seems to be, you know, something that's fucking so prominent, it's not funny, which is, you know, celebrity spirits. Now, we all know a couple of the main ones, you know, Ciroc being, you know, prompted by fucking Puff Daddy P. Diddy. You got Cabo Wabo and fucking, you know, Pura Vida tequila and all that sort of stuff. Now, the reason I bring this up, which you may be asking yourself why, because I certainly did, is 50 Cent's effing vodka has once again made it into the headlines, with 50 Cent being a fucking douche nozzle, man. Look, I don't get what this guy's fucking problem is, right? So, effing vodka is caught up in a controversy involving 50 Cent this week that led to some Cincinnati outlets boycotting the brand, as well as the rapper or singer or performer, whatever you want to fucking call him, Future, boycotting the brand. So, as reported by the Cincinnati Inquirer, it started when the rapper accused an airport janitor of being on drugs because he wouldn't respond to him in a video posted Sunday on Instagram. Now, the video, you can still sort of find it on YouTube below. And here's the problem. The man targeted in the video has a social anxiety disorder and a hearing impairment, which, you know, people who knew him told the Inquirer, which apparently 50 Cent didn't bother to investigate any further. I mean, basically, the video shows fucking 50 Cent pulling the piss out of this poor cunt, trying to do his fucking job, shaking his head, eyes front. And, I mean, you can tell the dude doesn't want to be on film. And, I mean, even if you weren't, you know, having a fucking issue with the world, you don't want to be doing your job and get bothered by some douchebag, especially because, I'm sorry, Mr. Curtis, but you're not all that fucking big anymore, you know what I mean? This kid looks all of about fucking, you know, 17 or 18. Yeah, it was before your time, douchebag. So anyway, the backlash resulted in you know, a few Cincinnati retailers pulling effing from their shelves. Also, yanking it was a popular bar downtown in Cincinnati called the Holy Grail. Now, on Tuesday, 50 Cent offered his apology, according to the Inquirer. While the incident at the airport resulted in an unfortunate misunderstanding, I am truly sorry for offending the young man. It was certainly not my intent to insult him or the disability community, which is a source of great strength in America. I have apologized personally to him and his family. It's not the fucking point, dude. If you're trying to talk to somebody and they're fucking ignoring you, just fucking leave him alone. God damn it. Now, Beam Suntory, which owns Effin, released a statement that said, as a brand that considers social responsibility the highest of priorities, Effin Vodka does not condone the recent behavior of 50 Cent. We have expressed to him a profound disappointment for his actions, which are in no way representative of the brand's value. Now, it's his fucking brand. I'm going to leave it alone. You know what? I don't think I am. Right, so Beam Suntory can bring out this fucking statement, which goes, you know, does not condone race and behavior of 50 Cent, but you hired this douche nozzle, right? And to me, like, go find this fucking video, right? I can play you the fucking audio, and I've pre-checked this one because, you know, it I had to listen to it. But I mean, like, this, okay, fuck it. Listen to it, tell me what you reckon, okay?
Listen, the new generation is crazy. They're crazy. What's your name?
This poor guy's just shaking his head trying to do his job.
What kind of shit you think he took before he got to work today? He high as a motherfucker right here in the airport. Pupils dilated, everything looking like that. The new generation is fucking crazy.
Now, like, I'm sorry, but even if the dude was high, which is, I'm fucking pretty sure, legal in the United States, why are you going to go fucking bother a cunt when he's trying to fucking do his goddamn job? You don't know. You don't know, fucker. So that's what prompted me to look at, you know, some of the fucking more well-known or some of the even the lesser-known celebrity fucking endorsed or celebrity-made brands of fucking spirits out there. So why don't we start off with Joe Montana, who is the face in front of Aviation American Gin. Now, Joe Montana is an NFL Hall of Famer who is no stranger to the brewing industry. In the 1990s, I believe it was, Joe Montana owned a Midwestern beer distributorship, and a few years ago, he partnered with a vineyard to create Montagna Cabernet Sauvignon, and his latest endeavor is Aviation Gin, which he just invested in. Now, it was co-founded by top Portland ore bartender Ryan McGarian. Yeah, McGarian. And I mean, of course, no list would ever be complete without Dan Aykroyd and his batshit crazy fucking Crystal Head Vodka. Now, Crystal Head Vodka, which we've actually done a review, you'll be able to find it on the website, you know, thedrunkenbizard.com. You've got to fucking take it with a grain of salt. I mean, really? I mean, after years of making us laugh in films like Ghostbusters, Blues Brothers, Spies Like Us, Dan Aykroyd created Crystal Head Vodka. But, I mean, he was quite serious about Crystal Head, which he founded in 2008. Now, the liquor is filtered through 500 million-year-old quartz crystals with supposed spiritual qualities. I mean, still tastes like a fucking hat full of assholes. I'm not very fucking keen on the actual taste of it, but I mean, that skull is rather fucking wicked, which he had partnered with a sculptor originally to make the brand. And I mean, you watch his videos about the crystal heads and all this sort of shit, and it's fucking crazy. I mean, if I'd started my podcast, okay, put it this is how crazy this cunt is, right? If I'd started my podcast, this podcast, this very podcast we're listening to, what, 9 months earlier, I could have had Dan Aykroyd in my shed in fucking Warwick because he came to Australia to promote Crystal Head Vodka, and his only caveat, he would do anything, radio, television, newspaper, fucking high school fucking blog, anything, as long as you talked about Crystal Head fucking Vodka. And in fact, he walked off the set of an SBS news program because they refused to promote the vodka in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you've got to hear it, man. It is fucking nuts. Now, of course, you can't mention Dan Aykroyd and Crystal Head without talking about Sammy Hagar and, you know, Sammy's Beach Bar Rum and Cabo Wabo Tequila. Now, whether you like Van Halen or not, Sammy Hagar is a spirits pioneer. All the way back in 1996, he started Cabo Wabo Tequila, one of the earliest celebrity liquor brands. Now, it was originally sold only at Hagar's Bar, which was, funnily enough, named Cabo Wabo in Cabo San Lucas in Mexico. But in 2007, Sky Spirits bought 80% of the brand for $80 million fucking dollars. And you can now buy Cabo Wabo fucking everywhere. And in the last, I think it's 2 years, he's just introduced Sammy's Beach Bar Rum, which is made from sugarcane grown in Hawaii. Now, when you look at fucking, you want to look at things that are done right, Cabo Wabo is definitely the fucking benchmark to set it by. I mean, this guy was fucking instrumental in bringing celebrities to booze. Now, Justin Timberlake tried to emulate this couple years later after the sale of Cabo Wabo when he became he entered the tequila business when he launched his 901 Silver Tequila. Now, this is way back in 2009. Now, 901 Silver Tequila, the name itself refers to an area code in Memphis, Tennessee, which is, of course, Timberlake's hometown, and we have since heard nothing of it ever since. Didn't much take Timberlake for a tequila man. I would have thought he was more of a shandy guy, but yeah, there you go. Now, in 2007, Sean Combs, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, just Diddy, I don't fucking know, he changed his name often enough, partnered with the world's largest spirit company, Diageo, and this vodka, which is made in France from grapes. It's fucking wine. Ciroc vodka is now coming in 3 flavors: peach, coconut, and red berry, and it is absolute shit. Now, I know my old compadre on the podcast, Mr. JD, absolutely loves Ciroc. I could think of fucking better things to wash my fucking underwear in. It's horrible. It is really fucking horrible, people. I'm sorry. Hence the, the verbal diet of fucking rear when it comes down to it. So let's have a look at what else we've got on our list. We've got Casamigos Tequila. Now, what is it with fucking celebrities and tequila? You all fucking drink tequila. It's bullshit. Nobody drinks this much tequila in real life. Now, George Clooney is the man behind this tequila. Apparently, not just George Clooney, but George Clooney and Cindy Crawford got into business together with Casamigos Tequila. And I mean, you're asking yourself, what could go wrong? Well, quite a fucking bit, according to a commercial for Casamigos Tequila. But you don't need to worry. The brand was co-founded last winter by Clooney and Crawford's husband, Rand Gerber, who previously owned the Midnight Oil chain of bar and lounges. Now, kiddies, if you want to know what Midnight Oil is, think of the most politically fucking ridiculous, hypocritical fucking band you can. Put an Australian accent on it. give the lead singer fucking alopecia and make him dance like a frog on a hot plate, and you've got it. Also, our fucking environmental minister for a while. Australia. So, I bet, oh, I can hear you now. What about all the rappers out there? So, I bet you didn't know that Ludacris had a cognac. Yeah, that's right, you heard me. Ludacris had a cognac. Conja cognac, it's called. So, I mean, while most people are, you know, happy just being the face of a brand, normally tequila or vodka, Ludacris was actually involved in this cognac's blending. Now, while he prefers his measure of cognac with, you know, a hint of coke, the word from the bird on the street, you know, is to have it neat, you know, or maybe have it in a bit of a classic cocktail like a sidecar. Cognac's one of those things, man. I don't know what it is. I've never really tried a cognac. I don't know much about cognac. It's something I should probably fucking look at, I think. It's time. Brandy, I mean, brandy, man, there's fucking two brandies you can get. Cheap brandy, which would be no good, or fucking expensive brandy. But there seems to be a range of cognac if you know where to look, which is something I really need to investigate. But moving right along, we're going to have a look at another fucking tequila, Pura Vida tequila, which was actually made by Billy Gibbons. Now, kids, back in the day, there was a band of three guys with beards. And then one of them shaved his beard and just had a mustache. Don't know who I'm talking about? Yeah, I'm sorry. But there was a band called ZZ Top. Now, ZZ Top did a lot of rock, a lot of Texan rock. They're very high-paced, fast, but, you know, Sharp Dress Man, Give Me All Your Lovin', fucking Viva Las Vegas, which was done with Elvis after he died, Legs, LaGrange. I mean, I'm a ZZ Top fan. Billy Gibbons is one of the best guitar players in the world. So what did he do? He decided to make himself into fucking tequila. Now, he's not Pura Vida's only celebrity owner, Sully Erna, who you're probably going, who the fuck is that? There was a band once called Godsmack. Moment of silence for Godsmack. He's also an investor in this branded tequila. Now, while the brand's Añejo is matured in former bourbon cask, the super premium extra Añejo is aged in used cognac cask. So that's actually pretty fucking cool. I'd give that a go. I'd actually try that. Billy Gibbons, man, his beard is insured for over $1 million. Did you know that? His beard. His beard. Not his fingers. Not his fucking guitar. His beard. And I'll tell you another fucking thing about Billy Gibbons, right? This is how cool this guy is. When they started becoming really, really fucking popular, ZZ Top was copping a lot of shit because, you know, people being douchebags like, oh, of course they sound so good. They can buy the most expensive guitars. I mean, at the time, Billy Gibbons had a fucking, it was like a $10,000 fucking guitar he was playing on. Heard the fucking criticism. So he went, all right, cool. Put his guitar in a case very carefully, I would imagine. Put it aside to be shipped back in bubble wrap and carried on the back of an angel. And then said, buy me a guitar from the local fucking store. So for the last 20, 30 years, he's been playing a fucking off-the-rack $120 fucking guitar just to prove that it doesn't matter what you're fucking playing on. You can still play killer licks and riffs. So, you know, I thought that was fucking pretty cool. I mean, like, this is, once again, it's another fucking tequila, but what are you going to do? CeeLo Green, man, like that fucking date rapist from way back who sung the song about fucking you and was part of, forgetting you, sorry, and was, of course, the voice and one of the two frontmen of Gnarls Barkley. CeeLo Green has got his own sake, Taiku Sake. Sorry, I've got to say sake like that, but it seems to be the way that I'm saying sake tonight. Apparently, he likes his sake. He's such a huge fan of sake. He's now part owner of Taiku Sake and Spirits. In fact, in 2012, Taiku was the fastest growing sake brand in the US, and Green is already starring in the company's Sharon advertising campaign. Good for them. Dirty little rapist motherfucker. But good for them. And, of course, we've got Bill Murray and Mikhail Baryshnikov pushing Slovenia vodka. Now, Slovenia vodka, I've actually had. It's actually not too bad. And it's smart. It didn't just, you know, put all its eggs in one basket by, you know, going to one celebrity and going, hey, man, can you push our vodka? They're like, nope, we're going to go two. Of course, everybody knows who actor and comedian Bill Murray is. And the second name, Mikhail Baryshnikov, you may not have heard. I mean, I'm pretty sure you've heard Baryshnikov, but if you didn't know what he was or who he was, he's a pretty famous dancer guy who makes dance moves for stuff. He's a ballet dancer and really big choreographer. Now, the vodka is made with buckwheat and water sourced directly from the Slovenian Alps, and it's only been out in the market for the last year or two. It's actually fucking, like I said, quite a good drop, and it comes in a real cool little square fucking bottle with a red on it. You know, a la fucking Hal from fucking Space Odyssey 2001. Moving right along, let's look at Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Now, the superstar actors are owners of a vineyard that they purchased in 2012 for about $60 million. And in a partnership with a French winemaking family, Jolie and Pitt now find themselves in the winemaking business with Miraval Rosé. Now, the wine isn't just some celebrity pet project. It actually ranked 84th on the Wine Spectator's list of top 100 wines in 2013, the only rosé to make the list. The Jolie Pitt star power regularly results in free press for the vineyard, which is where Jolie and Pitt married in a small ceremony in 2014. Now, we all know who Dave Matthew is, but did you know that Dreaming Tree Wines, which is a line of four wines, including a Chardonnay and a Cab Sav, is actually created by Dave Matthews. Now, the line is run by alcoholic beverage maker Constellation Brands and was named after a song that appeared in the 98 Dave Matthews Band album Before These Crowded Streets. Matthews teamed up with veteran winemaker Steve Reed to make wines he said are widely approachable. The stuff I'm drawn to is wine, and that isn't trying to be too fancy, which is something he said in a promotional video. Now, the $15 wines come with some eco-friendly packaging features with 100% recycled paper labels and recyclable corks. Now, Hansen. Yes, that's right. They have also put their name to a fucking bunch of booze. Now, they make beer. That's right, they make beer. Now, the beer's name is Mbop, which is, you know, fucking the name of their one and, let's face it, their only fucking hit song, Mbop. And Hanson Brother Taylor said that the beer can resonate with an adult audience that grew up on that song. The brothers initially launched a pale ale in Hanson's home state of Oklahoma in 2013, and the beer has become available online as of 2014. We feel like it's the kind of beer that brings you into craft beer for the first time, said Taylor in an interview. Older brother Isaac says the beer is an approachable beer for people who are not particularly familiar with full-flavored beers. But it also apparently has enough substance and bitterness to appeal to beer snobs. Not that I've ever fucking heard of it. Now, we covered this story just late last year. Now, Diageo a couple of years ago, I don't know, I lose track, man. I've been fucking doing this for a while. Lots of episodes to record. Now, it announced the global launch. Now, Diageo announced the global launch of a new single grain Scotch whiskey called the Hague Club. Which, of course, if you were listening to our show way back then, you would know was developed in partnership with David Beckham and British entrepreneur Simon Fuller. Now, the whiskey is bottled in a blue glass bottle, which Diageo said is inspired by the tradition of blenders who use blue tasting glasses so the spirit can be reviewed on aroma and taste alone. Now, just because Beckham is the man behind it doesn't mean it's any good. It's actually had quite a few mixed fucking reviews. Now, this isn't including, of course, like I said, 50 Cent's fucking effort vodka and Drake's vodka that he is releasing sometime rather fucking soon. So I just thought it was rather interesting to have a look at some of the more well-known or lesser-known, you know, spirits out there or beers out there that are, you know, endorsed, created by celebrities. So that's our little feature for this week. Now, listen, we're not going to look at the top trends in vodka because that's boring. So we're going to move on to a bit of fucking beard news. Now, if you remember, something we've been fascinated with from the start of the show is the idea of a beard tax. Now, way back when, especially during the early well, later years, I suppose you'd call them, of Tsarist Russia, there was a beard tax. And you can actually buy replica beard tokens, which you would get in you know, upon paying your beard tax to say that you've actually paid your tax for having a beard. And the year before, we covered a story about an Englishman who was, you know, in jest trying to bring the beard tax back. Now, apparently, this has been taken up in seriousness over in the UK with a barber who's waged war on facial hair by calling on the government to implement a beard tax. This is legit, people. This is absolutely legit, not just some fucking tongue-in-cheek satire fucking article. Now, Anthony Kent, who owns a salon chain, UK barbershops, has charged people with bushy beards. It would charge people with bushy beards £100 a year under his law to have a beard. Now, this £100 a year is for people with more than modest stubble. People with stubble, you know, that 5 o'clock shave, would have to cough up £50 a year to keep their stubble. I remind you, this is in the, you know, the world, the ecology, the fucking reality we have, where, you know, Sikhs are now allowed to grow beards and wear turbans in the fucking US military. Now, he's put his plan to the Chancellor of the Exchequer? Yeah, Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, proposing that the extra money could be used to help plug the hole in the national budget. Now, the 48-year-old, who's from Sale Green near Droditch, said, "I noticed people were growing beards and I was thinking, why? I just found it quite fascinating to see how the fashion has changed." Clearly, this dude's a bit behind the fucking times, but, you know, apparently prompted by the recent trend of the so-called hipster beard, Mr. Kent began researching the subject and found that, in fact, not just Russia, but England during the reign of King Henry VIII had levied a similar tax nearly 500 years ago, and he thought to himself, what a great idea. I was quite fascinated by the fact that they had to carry a token with them to prove they had paid the tax, he said. My head started wearing away and I started thinking, you might be onto something there, old chap. I thought they need to reduce the deficit so maybe they could start taxing beards with them being so prevalent in the moment. Forgive my racist accent. He suggests that some of the revenue could be used to support tax-injured ex-service personnel, explaining male fashion has been partially driven by dress codes adopted by the military. Once again, he's a little bit behind the time. Whatever the psychology behind the trend, there is absolutely no doubt the beards are more fashionable now than they've been for decades, and the government should be cashing in, explained the businessman who all of a sudden became Welsh and has 30 years' experience as a barber. In order to implement the tax, he proposes beards be measured and a cost worked out based on length of hair. What the fuck, man? He added, "I'm anti-beard, really. I can't grow one, to be honest. I get a bit of a goatee, but that's about it." So here we go. Beard envy at its fucking worst. However, underpinning his eccentric plans for a beard tax lies a more serious message. "I'm trying to raise awareness for the ridiculous state of tax in the hairdressing industry," explained Mr. Kent, mincing provocatively over to the fucking tea bar. "I'm trying to highlight the ridiculous taxes we are expected to pay, and the beard tax is an exaggeration of this." Once again, I can't shake the fucking Welsh. I'm just going to say this fucking, try not to be fucking theatre of the mindish about it. "I've been writing to the government for many, many years on the tax affairs of hairdressing, and all of my calls fall on deaf ears." Yeah, moment of silence for the amount of fucks that we don't give. So I decided to come up with an alternative tax-raising measure for the government so they can make things fair. Mr. Kent's grandfather, Vic Kent, launched UK barbershops in Birmingham in 1934. UK barbershop also have branches in a bunch of places nobody gives a fuck about. Beard tax, man. Why the fuck is this still a fucking issue? How can you do that? Right? I get the point. Fucking shit's in trouble. People owe money all over the fucking place. The US is in debt, the fucking UK, the whole fucking world's in goddamn debt except for the fucking Chinese, because that's where all the fucking banks get their money from. Just a little hint. But, you know, what the fucking living fuck, man? Like, you know, a beard tax? Are you fucking serious? I tell you what, I've got a bit of good news for The Pro Beard Society. Amish beard cutting convictions have been upheld by federal appeals court. That's right. We covered this story a little while ago where there was a bit of fucking trouble where in Ohio, there was some hate crimes being committed. And I love the fact that beard cutting and hate crime comes up in the same fucking sentence. But as an update on that story, in Cincinnati, Ohio, a federal appeals court on Wednesday upheld the criminal convictions against more than a dozen members of an Amish community who orchestrated a series of beard-cutting attacks against its enemies. That's right. The Amish lost their fucking shit and decided to fucking go cutting beards left, right, and center. Now, this isn't cutting beards of the random fucking citizens, so you got no worries about, you know, random gangs of fucking Amishmen coming along and cutting your fucking hipster beard off. This was against members of their own flock. But the point was made that it's a hate crime because they know damn well what they're doing by cutting the beard. It went to court and, you know, the conviction was made and, you know, as a hate crime, which we lauded at the time because any time a man gets his beard cut by anybody else, it's a fucking hate crime. I don't give a fuck. But it was appealed, as it will happen, and this past fucking week, or 2 weeks I should say, a three-judge panel from the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati ruled that the 15 defendants who challenged their convictions, they did so just too late. That's right, you took too fucking long, maybe because you were getting your mail by fucking donkey. Now, this is their second appeal, and the arguments raised the second time around were waived because they weren't brought up the first time. Which is how the Court of Fucking Appeals work. If you're going to fuck it up, make sure that what you're arguing is actually valid to the case. And if it wasn't brought up the first time, you can't argue it. You know what I mean? It's just the way the fucking appeals court work. You can't bring new evidence in. It doesn't work like that. And Judge Jeffrey Sutton wrote in his opinion that in criminal case after criminal case, we have declined to allow a criminal defendant who fails to challenge part of a conviction in an earlier appeal to raise it in a later appeal. Seeing no fair reason to give full review to these arguments now, especially as no defendant has explained the omissions from the early appeal, we decline to break from this consistent practice. Now, I mean, you can go find the full appeal, but it's a lot of boring bullshit. Basically, you know, they fucked up. You can't, you know, if you didn't get it right the first time, you can't argue it to go back and appeal. You certainly can't argue it to go back to appeal twice. Now, the defendants are members of a breakaway sect of the Amish community made up of 18 families in the Jefferson County community of Buchholz, located about 100 miles southeast of Cleveland. Now, they were actually convicted of multiple crimes in September of 2012 for carrying out five nighttime raids in 2012. Now, the members of the community rousted five victims out of bed and chopped off their beards and hair with horse mane shears and battery-powered clippers. Battery-powered clippers, that's interesting. The attackers documented the attacks with a disposable camera. Are these really Amish people? I think this might be a conspiracy against the Amish myself because there's a lot of attack and technology. High-tech sorcery. Prosecutors brought hate crime obstruction charges. Sorry, that just gives me a giggle every single time I read it. Hate crime and obstruction charges for chopping off a beard against 16 members of the Amish community. They said the attacks were carried out at the behest of Bishop Samuel Mullet against the bishop's enemies. Witnesses portray him as a fire and brimstone preacher who imposes strict and often bizarre discipline on his flock. Now, the first time this went back to appeal, the Sixth Circuit overturned the hate crime conviction, citing faulty jury instructions. But Cleveland-based District Judge Dan Polster reinstated all of them to a much shorter sentence in March of 2015, which is when this first came up to our attention, and noted it was clear that the attacks were religiously motivated. In other words, you did it to fuck with their religion, and, you know, you can't fuck with their religion, apparently. Now, men's beard and women's hair have spiritual significance for the Amish. This was the crux of the problem, right? So, Bishop Mullet, who is 70, by the way, is serving a 10-year, 9-month prison sentence at a minimum security prison in Lisbon. Other defendants were re-sentenced between 1 and 5 years in prison, although Ed Bryan, who was Mullet's federal public defender, said all but Mullet had been released. Now, in his new opinion, after previously overturning it and getting slapped the fuck down, the Sixth Circuit which Sutton called a sequel, also rejected arguments challenging the new sentences. Sutton wrote that while some of the defendants argued that their sentences were too harsh, he felt they were substantively reasonable. Now, news of the attacks made international headlines and raised questions about federal hate crime laws in the US, which carries much harsher sentencing enhancements. Now, Mike Tobin, who's a spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office, said in a statement that the appeals court recognized the district court's finding that the violent attacks committed by Samuel Mullett and his 15 co-defendants were religiously motivated hate crimes. I'm just going to say that again. Chopping off a beard is a religiously motivated hate crime. Pardon me. We hope that this fact, along with the fact that Samuel Mullett will remain incarcerated for his convictions on obstruction of justice and lying to the FBI, allow the victims of these attacks to continue living their lives safely and peacefully. So, you know, this is just the latest in a fucking long, long fucking battle. I mean, like, chopping off another man's beard, it's worth a punch. So, you know, or smacking the fucking mouth at the very fucking least, you know what I mean? So, you know, where do we go from there? I just think it's fucking crazy that this has been going on for, what, 5 fucking years. 5 years. This story of religious bigotry and hate and fucking beard chopping has been carrying on. And it's still cropping up now. Even now. 5 years later. I'm just going to say that again. 5 years later. Wow. So, just before we get out of here tonight and before we delve into the vault of the beards in focus, I was lucky enough to receive some man candy beard balm and some man candy beard oil for that matter. So, man, the man candy story is basically, it's created by a guy, comedian Mick Meredith, and it was started in early 2015, so early last year, or was started production or testing early last year by Mick Meredith, hailing out of Sydney. Now, Mick's products are manufactured in Sydney, Australia, and made to order with the highest quality ingredients on the market. They don't use any cheap filler oil, synthetic fragrances, or preservatives. Their natural recipes have been man lovingly made by hand and man tested on real beards throughout the harsh Australian climate. Man Candy products will keep your chin rug in tip-top shape. So let's have a look at some of the products. I was lucky enough to receive 2 balms and an oil. So the balms I received were Citrus Sasquatch Blend and Cedarwood Beast Blend. Now, it's the Cedarwood Beast Blend, which was his first, you know, hit the market fucking blend. And it is the Citrus Sasquatch Blend, which is one of his biggest fucking sellers, with, of course, the Spicy Pirate Blend being just a brand new product altogether. So, Mick's done a great job here, I've got to fucking say. He has done an absolutely amazing fucking job that needs to be fucking commended. So, the balms come in 60 mil fucking bottles, and or 60 mil tins, I should say, with the beard oil coming in at 50 mil bottles. All of these are so reasonably priced, it's not funny. I'm talking like $20, $25 Australian, which, I mean, if you live over in the States, you're looking at, you know, 13 cents change from $0. So let's have a look at the Citrus Sasquatch Blend, which is an all-natural and handmade beard balm from Sydney, Australia to condition, shape, and strengthen your beard. It's an all-natural recipe comprised of argan oil, jojoba oil, sweet almond oil, coconut oil, as well as pure essential oils, plus shea butter with sweet citrus scents. The thing I like about this is it's light on the beeswax. I mean, I don't think there's any beeswax at all in here. No, there's not. And the beauty with using shea butter is it's very moldable and meldable, but it still fucking dries rather sweet. I mean, I haven't come across a blend like this for so long, it's not funny. And I mean, the fact that he's designed it as a styling and shaping aid, as well as a leave-in conditioner, means you get beautiful fucking results. And the citrus blend is a very subtle mix of those, you know, slightly fucking punchy citrus flavors that you get that doesn't leave your beard smelling like shit. To be perfectly fucking honest with you, it is absolutely amazing. And I highly recommend it. It comes with some great instructions that you're going to find on the bottom, which is all about the face mane and the chin rug. And the label is classic and understated without being, you know, too fancy, too crazy. It's something that you can see aging 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and it's still going to feel amazing on your beard. Me personally, my favorite scent of the whole lot was the Citrus Sasquatch blend. But of course, let's go and have a look at the fucking original, which is the Cedarwood Beast blend, which is once again made up of Argan Jojoba, sweet almond, and camellia oils with pure essential oils plus shea butter, cocoa butter, and a tangy lime scent. Now, this is like walking through a pine forest in the middle of a bushfire. It is absolutely fucking amazing. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Once again, these things, they come out of the tin without too much trouble. There's no dingleberries. It's fucking nice and smooth on the hands, straight into the beard. Comes off the hands when you're done without too much fucking fuss. I love it. I love it. I absolutely fucking love it. It is an amazing fucking balm. And I mean, for $20, you cannot go wrong. Honestly, you cannot. It's $20 Australian with a $6 domestic and a $10 fucking, I think it's $10, international Australian fucking price tag on it. I mean, we're talking, you know, for mere pennies, if you live in America, you can get some of the best balm you have tried, bar none. I shit you fucking not. And let's have a look at the fucking oil. The oil itself, like I said on previous podcast, I'm not so much an oil man myself, mainly because I need the extra sort of grab about it to help try and tame the face mane. But this oil is rather nice, I've got to say. It comes in a quality glass bottle with a great glass dropper. And I've got to say, I love the Neato electrical tape around it just to make sure it all sticks together. I mean, he packages this shit with such love and care. You could throw it against the wall. It's not going to break before it hits your fucking dirty, sweaty hands. Beard oil, in his opinion, is a hydrating oil that helps with the skin and helps soften and tame beard hair, which means it also does double duty as a styling agent, which, you know, it did better than most. I'll give it that. The ideal beard should look shiny and green, which I fucking agree with 100%. This is something that's come up quite a few fucking times, you know, in my travels throughout the beard world, is a lot of people don't like the shiny look of a beard. I disagree. A beard should look shiny. It should look beautiful. It should look long. It should look fucking glorious. Part of that feeling is shine. I'm sorry, but shine. As long as it's not staining your shirt, you're good. So, Man Candy Beard Oil is a blend of all organic, natural grapeseed oil, argan oil, coconut oil, hemp seed oil, and camellia oils with a nice little spicy little citrus scent. Makes you feel like you're swabbing out the decks on a pirate ship or the Endeavor. It's beautiful, man. It is. It's beautiful. I mean, the scent hangs around for maybe, I don't know, 2-3 fucking hours, I suppose, depending on what you're doing. Once again, I work in pretty unforgiving sort of fucking environments for any sort of hair, let alone, you know, the most sensitive beard hair. And a 50ml bottle for $25, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot go fucking wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You really fucking can't. It's just beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. In fact, I've even gone that extra step. And I've been talking to a couple of local barbers around town to try and get his product in the stores that are close to me, because I tell you people, it's well worth the look. It's high quality gear that's packaged in high quality goods. And Mikko himself is fucking, he's hilarious, man. He's absolutely fucking hilarious. But let's hear what the man himself has got to fucking say. So Mick Bird hails from Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. And he has this to say on his beard. I grew this face forest to hide the ugly mug behind it, basically. I'm a comedian, singer, songwriter, so I think it's a good look on stage. I'm 50 this year, so 52, but I had a crack at growing a chin beast in my late teens to early 20s. They came and went, usually going with each new girlfriend. I've had some form of beard on my melon for the past 7 years. I've trimmed it back to a goatee a few times, but I'm sticking with this current draw carpet. I've always been a fan of bearded musicians, ZZ Top being my favourite, And in my opinion, Taylor Swift needs one. Yes, yes, she does. My beard has tried quite a few beard taming products. I prefer the balms of the oil. Scoop Deluxe is one of the best out there I've used, and he's a funny chap to follow on Instagram, which, fucking oaf. We'll be having Scott on this sometime this year. I'm going to fucking make it my goddamn mission. But I digress. Mick says, I've also started making my own beard balm and oil, which I'm pretty happy with. I'm pretty happy with the amount of beards I'm seeing around the place lately. I like to give the bearded nod of approval as I walk past a fellow beard. I reckon every bloke should have a crack at growing the face forest. Some blokes never look back. So this is just before he launched his beard stuff professionally. And in that time, I suppose, he's giving Scoop Deluxe a serious run for his money. At least on the product stage, if not on his comedy. But in honour of this great, great man, I'm going to play one of his songs, because he is a musician, comedian. So here is That Exam Song by Mick Meredith.
And I recently went for the prostate test the other day, and got a real scare. The doctor said, take your pants off, and I looked up, he was taking his off as well, so... You need to check your prostate. Find a friendly doctor, let him finger your date. That's right, beads and moles, digits and thumbs, rubber gloves and KY, and access to your bum. So with trepidation I make an appointment. But then I've had a few ales. Hope is gentle. Hope is trimmed his nails. The prostate is an organ behind the dick and ball junction. If you don't get it checked, you might get erectile dysfunction. That's right, men, your love gun. Well, it just might go soft. So be a man. And cough. So I dropped my pants and bent my knees for my examination. But the doctor overstepped the mark when he made idle conversation. But he said that I was healthy after poking my bits. But it was still real scary, mighty scary. It was a kind of like
so that he did to actually promote getting a prostate exam. If you are over the age of 50, man, he is a great comedian, and he's got some skills, man. His Instagram's well worth checking out, actually, both at Mick Meredith and at Man Candy Balm. I think that's all I've got time for. Yes, it is. It's all I've got time for. It is fucking freezing where I am right now. I've got to sort some sort of heat source down here in the recording studio because, goddamn, it's fucking cold. So you can find us on all the social medias at The Drunken Beardsman, except on Twitter where you can find us at The Drunk Beardsman. You can find us at www.thedrunkenbeardsman. You know what? Fucking just Google search The Drunken Beardsman. You're going to find us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you once again for joining me on this episode of the show. And we love it. Go along to rvsrmedia.com. That website is live, but kind of shit. But you'll find links to all the relevant things and bits and pieces that you want to find right there. Until next week, on the same drunk channel at the same bit of time, I'm Drunk with Dan, and I'm going to say it for the absent friends. Stay bearded and beautiful, people. Much at all, but there is one thing that I'm all for. I like beards. I like beards.
don't like Queen. Powderfinger, not my kind of scene. A tropical sunset, a fine red wine. Having sex, it's all just a waste of my time. I don't like you or anyone, but there is one thing that turns me on. I like beards. I like beards. Beards are good, beards are great. They look so nice on your face. I've got to make this crystal clear.
This has been a production by R vs. R Media. We would like to take this time to recommend maybe or maybe not drinking beard brewed from the yeast off the belly button or the yoni, as they like to say. I'm Drunk with Dan. Thank you very much. I'd like to take this time to point out that the theme song has been gratefully provided by The Beards. It is I Like Beards off their latest album, The Beard Album. You can find them at www.thebeards.com.au. If you happen to be in Australia for the next 6 to 9 months, why don't you go along, check out their tour schedule and catch them for one last time before they retire for good. This has been Drunk with Dan. I've been happy. All I've got to say for this is don't record 6 episodes of another podcast before you try and record this one. Love you, peoples.
I'm here.